A reading from the Gospel of John. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Friday on Facebook, someone said Broadway is experiencing a season of loss. And it's true. In recent weeks, we have experienced an unusual number of saints passing, some more suddenly than others, each and every one leaving a permanent and heartfelt void. Judith Tarvin was the last to go. A fun and faithful member of the chancel choir, our choir loft sits empty this morning because of the shock of the news of her sudden absence. The choir will sing again, but today the lump in the throat is just too big. The loft will be filled again, but today we feel its absence. Hope is the thing with feathers which perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words, and never stops at all. Jesus was soon to depart. He was gathered with his disciples in the upper room, soon to go out to his own Gethsemane and Golgotha. The void he would leave behind would be so great, the absence so immense, the great tenor bass seat would be empty. But on that last night with his disciples, Jesus promised them another would come and fill that seat in their lives once more. And their hearts would sing again. Standing beside the one whom Jesus said would come, the Paraclete, the one who would stand beside them. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit. Paraclete has several similar and extended meanings, all of which cannot be expressed in any one English translation. Its literal meaning is para, beside, kletos, stand, and it means the one who stands next to us. It means someone who stands next to us, as in the case of an attorney or a counselor, or as has been said multiple times this morning, a comforter, or a fierce and caring friend. Now, I know comparing the Holy Spirit to an attorney, why do you laugh? May raise some eyebrows. For the vocation of the attorney is not widely thought of as the most godly of callings. I remember Broadway member and attorney Harold Hammett telling me he was harassed and harangued by both his law school buddies and also his church friends after he made A's in both banking law at the University of Texas Law School and also Christian ethics at Austin Presbyterian Seminary. How can you make an A in both Christian ethics and banking, he was asked. It seems you would have to fail one in order to succeed at the other. Still, there are Christian bankers and there are Christian, very Christian attorneys. And if you ever need an attorney, like say you're sometime banned from a certain Texas County Commissioner's Court, then you do well to have a good one. The Holy Spirit is our great attorney, the advocate, some translations say. And as John Bunyan said, Satan is the accuser, God is the judge, and the Holy Spirit is the defense counsel who's never lost a case, never lost a cause or a soul. The Holy Spirit is a good attorney. And we will all need one at one time or another. The Holy Spirit is also a good counselor. She, and I use the feminine pronoun not only because it's Mother's Day, but also because Spirit Pneuma is feminine in its form. She is a good listener and a good sounding board and a source of reflection and a font of wisdom. She's also someone who helps us in our hour of need to discover the depth and the strength that is within our souls. And she empowers us to summon the courage of our own convictions. That is what Jesus did for others while he was still alive. And when he was about to go, he promised the coming of the Holy Spirit that she would come and do the same. The Spirit of God in Christ in them. The Spirit that would teach them what they were to say and help them stand where they were to say it. Even in the county commissioner's court. The Spirit is also a comforter. I am going away, Jesus says, and where I'm going, you cannot come, but I will not leave you orphaned. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another to come and to comfort you. Whenever I think of this role of the paraclete, I think of the prayer shawl group at my last church, Second B, or those who do quilt ministry here at this one. To place a shawl over the shoulder or a quilt upon the body is a beautiful gesture of connection and of care, and it says, you are not alone. We are with you. Our spirits and our prayers are near you. Our love and the love of God, they warm and they comfort you. And they do. Finally, the Holy Spirit is also a fierce and caring friend who comes to be by our side when we need her most. When I think of this role of the Holy Spirit, I think of two very personal and very powerful experiences in my own life, each of which took place in the setting of a sanctuary. First, I think of the Sunday I preached on the acceptance and affirmation of gay marriage at Second B, and how a man named Ron Presley, a great big old yellow dog Democrat and ag teacher at South Plains College, came down from the choir loft and stood next to me during the invitation hymn. I knew that Ron was already a member of the church, so I asked, "What are you doing here, brother?" And Ron looked up at me and said, as serious as a heart attack, "I just figured if a guy preaches a sermon like that, someone ought to come down and stand beside him." And that to me was as clear and obvious an act of the Holy Spirit as I have ever experienced. And I am so glad she came about 6'3", 260. And the other occasion was at Watts Street Baptist Church in Durham, North Carolina, just next to Duke University, where I was in seminary, having such a difficult emotional and psychological and spiritual time when my soul was in crisis. And the minister of that church, Reverend Mel Williams, came down at the conclusion of the service during the organ postlude and just sat next to me in the pews and held my hand. He held my hand. He didn't say a word. But what he did spoke everything, and it said to me, God is with you, and I am with you, and I am at your side. And the Holy Spirit is the one who comes down from heaven to stand or to sit at our side. She is our advocate. She is our counselor. She is our comforter. And she is our fierce and caring friend. And she is in this sanctuary with us in these pews this morning. When translators were looking to bring the Bible into the indigenous Kare language of equatorial Africa, they used an interesting image for the Holy Spirit. In that culture, a line of porters would line up to carry bundles of goods long distances, with one in the line not carrying anything but simply walking behind. He was not the boss. In fact, he had a special helping role, for if anyone ever fell or needed help, he was there behind them to step in. He would come and help carry the load with and for them. And in the Kare language, he was called the one who falls down beside us. This too is another name for the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you orphaned. I will ask the Father, and he will send another, an advocate, a counselor, a comforter, a friend to walk with and even fall down beside you. May the Holy Spirit do all these things for us in these days and in this season of sudden losses and certain and uncertain struggles. May the Spirit of God in Christ in us comfort and strengthen and encourage us. And may she do one thing more. May she also open our voices and let us speak. And even when the time is right, also sing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one true God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people say,